This program is brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you hear, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.
Hello and welcome to Wavelength on Resonance 104.4 FM. I'm Sam, standing in for William, who is off this week. And also Dan, who I've done a few shows with, is also unavailable, tending to some noise issues in his house. If, for whatever reason, the neighbours of Dan are listening, please cease the constant noise as Dan is struggling to maintain his sanity.
I feel exactly the same way.
That voice you heard was Hani, who is my guest today. Hani is here to talk about their music, what inspires them, what they're looking to do with their music, how they conceptualize their ideas and how they realize them. I think Hani is a interesting producer and creative to speak to, because from my perspective, Hani's music incorporates lots of genuine lived experience in a relatable way to me that resonates, both in terms of the style, so imbuing experience sonically into the music, and then more overtly sometimes in the pieces that Hani makes with lyrics.
I'd say that's true, I guess. Yeah.
Yeah.
Something that I'd be happy to have said about my work. I like the word visceral, but I don't know if that's exactly what I get every time I create. Something that kind of evokes really maybe like gritty or harsh tones and feelings. Yeah.
Is this what you want the listener to feel, or this is how you feel when you're creating the music that you make?
I think it's the way that a lot of kind of negative emotions have expressed themselves in the music, or negative periods of time. Yeah, I'm not saying there haven't been good points in my life, but but there's definitely points where I've felt low or kind of in a bad state. And a lot of the tracks help me lift myself out of that state. Yeah.
Yeah, this is very, really relatable to me. I feel like I've used music in a similar way, and I've spoken about that on a previous Wavelength shows. And I want to start by listening to something that you've made, and you've brought in like a number of tunes or pieces that are unreleased and in kind of a formative state, or at least the working titles, so maybe not wholly completed potentially, which kind of very much links in with shows that Dan and I have been making recently on appreciating the value in iteration and the process, and how demos and works in progress can be just as interesting and aesthetically pleasing through a certain mindset that is appreciative of the look into that process.
Yeah, I think there's definitely a large group of people out there that like experiencing the journey that a piece makes. But also, I definitely know that there's times when I've listened to remasters or re-recordings, and there's been like a slight nuance of the song that's disappeared. Maybe it was the character of the mic, or like sometimes when you like make a little laugh, or there's like a click, or you know, there's so many different things that can change in the process of creating a track, that if you recreate something, although it can have a similar form, it's not exactly the same.
they kind of like remaster them a lot of the time as well for the standards of the present day. So you get like the sonic effect of like the radio potentially now, but maybe like one of the things sonically that you liked about it was potentially the more gritty rawness and that polish and kind of loudness is something, everything's boosted up. But you know, you can adjust the loudness of something that you're listening to manually, but what you can't get back by turning down the volume on a remastered thing is some of those nuances and like the tones of like guitars or instruments or samplers or
And dynamic range, something that can get lost quite easily.
100%.
Yeah.
Okay, so out of this goodie bag that you've brought us, what shall we listen to first in terms of these works in progress or pieces with working titles?
Yeah, work in progress number one. It's titled CYM. It's one of the forays into combining orchestral tones with distorted, gritty tones that I really enjoyed. And I felt like I kind of captured the swell. And even though it is a little bit robotic in terms of timing, I captured the kind of rise and fall that comes with a performance, or like, I don't know, maybe we should just listen to it so I can...
All right, let's have a listen. This is
Sim
by
Anacusis.
Mentioning an interest in orchestral music, is this a new thing that you've kind of imbuing in works like this, or something that you've done a lot of?
I guess I have done quite a bit. So I'm looking for a really specific word: sound design. I was interested in the sound design part of creating music initially, and then I got really kind of carried away with that aspect, so like modifying the instrument rather than modifying the notes. The opposite of that, I think, is orchestral music, kind of, or classical music, where you can kind of partially modify the instrument, but it's more through the playing of it, the expression and the melody and harmony and how the actual kind of blocks of notes fit together. So I was trying to get into that and focus more on composition, essentially.
But isn't what you're describing not so much composition and more about the modulation of different sounds?
Which part?
So from what I understood, you were mentioning like taking kind of strings and then kind of tweaking the harmonics or the different aspects of that to create kind of a dynamic shifts, as opposed to change the chord that's being, or the note that's being played.
Yeah, so that's kind of like where I was coming from, changing the sonics, and where I wanted to go to was changing the notes.
What did you need to be able to do to get to that stage? Was that kind of, in a sense, like understanding more music theory or teaching oneself or experimenting? Like, because when I think of notes, me personally, who doesn't have much music theory, like I think I rely on ears a lot, and kind of like the limited pool of theory that I have to be able to create. So one could have like ideas of, oh, I'd love to create this kind of thing, or use these type of chords, or hit, or kind of emulate these type of sounds. But to be able to get there, I would maybe need to know more, be able to do more, kind of in a classic compositional sense and playing sense, I guess.
Yeah, when I started out, I didn't know really anything about music theory. I think I remembered music lessons from secondary school, and I did piano in primary school.
But have you remembered that though? Like, can you still play
the pieces?
Yeah, or do you use that introductory level experience in the music that you make now?
No, that's all gone. It's all been wiped from my brain.
But just bringing it back to like now, what you're talking about in terms of wanting to work less with the sounds themselves and more in terms of like how a piece progresses in a musical sense. How do you do that without having a greater understanding? What do you use? Like, is it kind of intuition, a feel, testing things out?
Oh, so if there's a chord that you do want to play, you have a sound, what you would do is you would pitch it differently. So that means you change the frequency of the main note. When I started out using a lot of samples, but samples of like fully made songs. So when you have a fully made song that's generally kind of in keeping with itself, you can pick out bits of that song and they won't really jar with each other. So that was how I kind of got around the music theory initially. Then I learned that there are scales and keys. Took me a long time to remember which one was which. And there's relationships between the notes. And I think the first bit of music theory, I guess, that my friend told me was, I think he showed me on a keyboard, like if you leave a gap between the two white keys, it sounds nice. And if you leave two gaps, it sounds bad. I think that's what he...
I like this approach to music theory. That's not about like, okay, here's this, that and the other and these strict rules, but just like, here's what sounds potentially good, or here's what sounds discordant, or, you know, in harmony. And thinking about it like that, as opposed to kind of like, you must learn this and for this.
Exactly, yeah. In terms of, I'm always a bit weird about orchestral music because I have a strangely restrictive view of orchestral music. I don't mean this to insult anyone who practices orchestral music or is a session musician or anything like that, because I know there's a lot of expression that can be put into works that you kind of interpret. But I didn't like the idea of practicing for a very long time to follow the instructions of someone else. That's, yeah, this is neither here nor there. Like, it's not a good thing, a bad thing. It's kind of a neutral thing.
I mean, there's analogies there really to any like form of work, right? And if you're like working at a company, you have certain skills, but your skills are tasked towards the direction of like the company, or in some cases, one person's goal that they, or ambition that they have obtained the means to be able to hire other people to help fulfill their vision. And in certain times, like that may be what the individual wants. And other times, like you might want to realize your own kind of goals. And in the same way, like that people do work and then like in their off time, their own projects, I guess, same maybe true of session musicians that sometimes they're doing that. And then in their own time, they're working on their own stuff. Or
I guess true. Yeah. I think it's the grind of it, but I didn't realize how valuable these kind of like techniques or like the ability to follow orders. I didn't realize how valuable that is. Cause I can't dance to things that are choreographed. Like, it's really difficult for me.
In a coordination sense or like a psychological sense?
It's probably psychological, but it's the kind of thing where like I can dance to music, but I can't follow dance moves. And I get a little bit of the same thing when I'm trying to play piano. It's kind of like I was told that I had dyspraxia when I was younger, but
I mean, it resonates a lot. Like, I remember the way I play guitar chords or bar chords is different to how I see the majority of people doing it. And for a while, I thought like, oh, this is weird. Why do I do that? Why am I doing not? But then it has the same effect. Or it still achieves like what I want it to achieve sonically. So I really don't mind. And like more in my mind now, I think, well, I kind of like that I have that unique way of doing it, or I found my own way to do these things, and I kind of like feel a bit of less tied to, oh, well, we should be doing it this way. Or I think maybe we should listen to something else. And I wanted to play the track Malcolm because this is a good example of your lyricism and how you combine that with the kind of sonic experimentation. I think there's a lot of lyrical experimentation, and the two combined are pretty powerful. So let's hear Malcolm, unreleased, Resonance exclusive, and we'll come back after that.
On Malcolm, shook up the talcum, cutting the card decks, flipping the album flex, stripping the weight. Next, dinner at 8, curves on the figure late, draining rigorous freeze and shiver, dust off diamonds, trip on the island, foot in the ocean island, switching the motion, sip of the potion, drop massive cautious, nightcap, nightstand, low caliber, light strap, Excalibur. On Malcolm, shook up the talcum, cutting the card decks, flipping the album flex, stripping the weight. Next, dinner at 8, curves on the figure late, draining rigorous freeze and shiver, dust off diamonds, trip on the island, foot in the ocean island, switching the motion, sip of the potion, massive precocious, nightcap, nightstand, low caliber, light strap, Excalibur. On Malcolm, shook up the talcum, cutting the card decks, flipping the album flex, stripping the weight. Next, dinner at 8, curves on the figure late, draining rigorous freeze and shiver, dust off diamonds, trip on the island, foot in the ocean island, switching the motion, sip of the potion, drop massive cautious, nightcap, nightstand, low caliber, light strap, Excalibur. On Malcolm, shook up the talcum, cutting the card decks, flipping the album flex, stripping the weight. Next, dinner at 8, curves on the figure late, draining rigorous freeze and shiver, dust off diamonds, trip on the island, foot in the ocean island, switching the motion, sip of the potion, drop massive cautious, nightcap, nightstand, low caliber, light strap, Excalibur.
Cool. Honey.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about your process on something like this. What comes first, the words or the music?
They're kind of decoupled initially. So I write lyrics and then I write the music. So they could be in front or behind, but I think this one specifically, the lyrics came afterwards. So it's like I have a large collection of lyrics that I can write into at any time, kind of so I don't lose any stray thoughts, I guess. Yeah, I don't have much to say about this.
We don't need to necessarily know like how exactly you made it, but I'm interested like how you do you decide
exactly where it's going before it goes.
Well, I'm wondering like whether you think you sit down or stand up or however you like make music, and are you thinking, okay, I want to express this, and sonically like this feels like the natural way to do it. I think about when I'm making music, it's kind of quite intuitive. So whatever comes from making in that moment, I feel in my mind is representative of something inherent in me, like how I feel at that moment.
Yeah, essentially, that's kind of what I go through. The lyrics, however, are a bit weird. So with the sounds, they seem to kind of just appear from my emotional state, whether I'm hungry. So if I haven't eaten, I often get like kind of ambient atonal, kind of not very well structured rhythmically music. So that happens when I'm in a low energy state. And depending on how many different types of state I'm in when I work on it, it can change because of that, or it can change just because the amount of time I put into the work. But a lot of the time, I'll kind of create something and it's almost like a timestamp. And if I go back to it, it becomes almost impossible to carry on that same track.
Do you find then that you end up with like lots of, that's maybe how you've got this massive collection, because they're all kind of moments and that are difficult potentially to like expand upon because you're kind of out of that zone?
Yeah, literally. It also happens because I bounce down a lot of my performances or compositions. So I end up with an audio file instead of the entire composition project thing.
Do you ever find like there's something about, I don't want to project this thought, but I feel like I can relate to a degree to that sense of like not being the best archivist or keeping things in a state that will allow me to like easily continue on them. And I wonder if like, because I want it to be ephemeral in a way, and I'm kind of subconsciously beyond that, it's kind of boring to be saving and like getting everything tidying in the right place, ready to share and work on. Maybe part of it is just, yeah, wanting to have that moment be.
Yeah. And I think part of what that feeling is linked to is the fact that we're all kind of like running away from impermanence. What I mean by that is like, so essentially everything in life is impermanent except the structure that is the universe, right? Some people might also think that the universe may come to an end, or the whole thing. So what we try to do as humans is store information and recall that information at other times, or experience information from random sources. But if you experience something, and like you said, it's ephemeral, then you kind of want to grab that and tie it down to the physical world sometimes.
But I imagine you make a choice, right? So that when you're making stuff, you're thinking, okay, at the end of it, if you're like lucid, thinking, do I want to expand on this? Is this that moment of creativity expressed and it doesn't need more embellishment? Sometimes I'll take something that I think, oh, I really like this in that moment, I should expand on it. You work a day on it and then realize, no, it was what it was before, and really it wasn't meant to, in a way, be embellished anymore. Does that make sense?
Yeah, but more what I meant is we're scared of losing things, not because I don't mind losing the ability to change what happened in that memory or experience, aka losing a project file, but I do mind losing the actual trace of the event, so the recording or the bounce, or which is why like anytime I lose my field recorder, it's like a massive hit. Yeah, not a good hit.
Can you see a time then when, so music in terms of how it's like disseminated and how, you know, major labels, record labels in general aren't as dominant as they were, say, like 20 years ago, and there's much more kind of DIY ethos enabled by platforms like Bandcamp and Spotify that enable you to upload your own things. Can you see it? And maybe I wonder if there would be an adjustment in the listener's consciousness as well, where they're more open to less kind of what we conceive as final kind of songs and projects, and more that you could release the record that you have, the Anacousis EP, which for all I know is just multiple bounces that you've kind of made in a moment, bounced, like mixed while making, bounced down. And there isn't an expectation necessarily from an audience that they're going to hear a mix that sounds like it does on the radio currently. Although I guess, sorry, this just it gets a bit meta because I imagine like mixing styles change. So the Kendrick Lamar songs are now mixed completely differently to, I don't know, Wu-Tang from 95 or something like that, right?
Well, who am I going to say? Is it Tom? Oh, I've forgotten his name.
So I guess what I mean in, now, if you heard like stuff on 36 Chambers, sorry, this is a massive, it might be people, the sonic fidelity of that sounds like a demo now in a way, but yeah, you don't listen to it as a demo. I listen to it as like, this is the music, right?
Exactly. There's someone who really reminds me of that. And like, is, I also think when something sounds maybe like it's still a banger when it's been bit reduced or the sample rate isn't as high, sometimes that is the characteristics of the song that makes it the right song. But other times it's like you can just see that there's amazing stuff going on. Like there's a rapper, I want to say Tommy Hill, but I
could be like Tommy Hilfiger was a big brand, so maybe they took this name.
Is that why my
okay, while going that way? While Harney searches on his phone for the name of that rapper, we're gonna play another song. Harney, what's this song?
It's called Moss. It's about eating chicken and smoking weed.
What? Just before we play it, sorry, listeners. Actually, we'll come back because I want to, when we listen to this song, I want to come back and talk about food because I've listened to a lot of your music and it's a constant theme. We'll come back after this. So this is Moss and Acusis. I got the nod of correct pronunciation.
Insipid connections, sip on the liquid, changing directions. I'm trying to keep up with my projections, trying to switch up my production, trying to not to blow it or suck like suction, power like induction. Clocked that the chicken clucked when it clocked that it was f***ed up and might not see it to the end of the day. Chopped off his head with arterial spray, spritzed all over material and hay for a farm back to Bricky. I'm smoking on that sticky icky, used to blaze it with the chick named Vicky. It's not just a craze, if you're permanently in a haze. Mama made me, born and raised, eyes glazed, sworn in but not phased, screwing with a knotted up face. I'm just in the middle of a phase, like two sine waves, slightly out of place. Swear I'm not out here looking for praise, I'm just bunning these J's. Tears of laughter running down my face, I remember a salty embrace. Sick that they missed out, kiss kiss, mouth to mouth, she's staring with a pout, glaring at this ute. Swear I think she cute, gotta stack the loot, as much as we can plunder. Sky sparks and spits thunder, droplets inbound, racing to the ground. The light, the texture of the sound, I'll text her cause I'm coming round to your ends, about an hour, it depends on departure time. Pull apart the curtains and start to find trickles that slip down the window pane. Raindrops beat with that common refrain. Raindrops beat with that common refrain. Raindrops beat with that common refrain.
Nice. Very nice fade out. There's so many strands I want to talk about, because I feel like we promised listeners some conversation about food before we listened to that. But just while we were listening, you mentioned that part of this, the lyrics to this song, were inspired by being hit by a truck in Brighton. What was that about?
Yeah, so the bit where I say that fluid seeps into my brain, the Mad Hatter drowned, it's kind of in reference to that. What is really weird about that moment is I almost think I died and slipped into another reality where I didn't die. Like, as someone who believes in like parallel universes and different timelines and streams of time and things like that, because how I remember it happening is not how the people, or like how people who witnessed it remember it happening. So I remember feeling the car running over my truck, I mean, running over my elbow, and I got a phantom fracture there. And yeah, I mean, I've kind of blacked out for a bit. The ambulance took me to the hospital. It was a bad day. It was Friday the 13th. And I think it was that actual karmic retribution. Is that what would you call retribution? When you get like your comeuppance?
I don't know. There's a Modest Mouse song that I really like called Karma Payment Plan. So maybe you're on Karma's payment plan, paying back some... paying back karma for some deeds that you did.
Yeah, yeah.
So I just wanted to circle back to, you're talking about, we're talking about eating. So first thing you mentioned was that when you haven't eaten, the rhythms that you produce are a bit more scattered and a bit less conventional. From my perspective, I believe that was kind of an artistic choice. But you're saying that, would you sometimes have a time when you would want to do something like quite conventional, but actually having not eaten, there isn't just, it physically isn't a way for you to program?
Oh yeah, that's definitely the case. But also, you won't have heard the songs that I'm talking about. They're still kind of haphazard and weird when I am fully capable, but they become sparse, diluted, and kind of like just, there's no real groove to them when I'm super hungry. And I'm sometimes the hunger tracks come out quite nicely. If I name it something like hunger, it can have quite a like sharp, prickly, but still impactful thing. It's more when I've gone beyond the zone of like maybe like more than 6-8 hours without eating, and then yeah.
There's so much in your music that is about food and your relationship to food. Why is that?
Because it's a very complex relationship, and my hunger and appetite are not the same beast. So the physical need that my body has for food is not the same, or doesn't appear at the same time as my appetite, the kind of mental or the want for food.
Okay, so when your body actually needs it, your mind isn't necessarily telling you that you need it, and it can work vice versa, that your mind could be telling you you want to eat more when you've actually just eaten, potentially.
Mm-hmm.
Is that a condition that there's a name for, or something you've kind of identified about yourself? That?
Oh, no, that's just what I've noticed about how my eating goes. It might be a type of anorexia, because, you know, the most commonly known form of anorexia is anorexia nervosa. And I'm assuming that nervosa bit means something.
Mm.
And presumably the front half of the term means something as well. But I'm sure there's a name for having, like, your hunger and appetite decoupled. Although when I say hunger and appetite, they're two very distinct, different things to me. But I feel like a lot of people would be like, it's the same thing. It's like geek and nerd. Some people think they're different.
Yeah, so that sounds challenging beyond the kind of the rhythmic influence it has when you make stuff. And presumably you still want to make stuff even in that mode, because I don't want to presume actually, but the making itself is like an enjoyable experience. Or is it partly like that, even with this kind of abstract kind of rhythmic sparse, that is still representative of that moment, right?
Yeah, so the only thing that I think is always quite accurate is the portrayal of my emotional state within the song. Whether the song is good or not doesn't necessarily correlate to how well I'm feeling. But if I'm feeling bad, it's much more likely that it will be less gripping.
All right, let's hear another song. What do you want to play?
I want to play a song which I made after listening to a friend's song, and I was kind of trying to emulate them. But basically, it's a friend that I always called Jacques, but that's not his name. I don't know why. But yeah, it's a weird one. So it's called Jacques Spire, as in inspired by Jacques.
And then what was the... I feel like this is going to like trivialize like something that sounds like a proper struggle, but like what was the hunger
level
so that when listening, we can be like assessing the kind of, is it mainly the drums that this affects, the percussive aspects, or like that kind of looseness and like sparseness affect kind of all aspects of what you create?
Oh no. Yeah. It affects basically the melody and the like instrumental parts, not the drums in this one. That's kind of what I end up feeling like or having on my proverbial plate, DAW plate, when I'm going through one of those moments. My actual hunger level when I made this, because it's listenable and I'm playing it to someone else, probably like a 4 or 5.
Okay. What's the scale out of 10?
10 is being full.
10 is full.
Yeah.
But isn't full in this sense like...
Good.
But... If mind is saying, but we're not full, or is that less? Is that more?
They're not. They're not like out of sync. They're out of sync. They're not opposite.
Okay, let's hear this track. Mm. And while we're listening, I'll be thinking about processing, trying to understand that. We'll come back. Thank you. One thing I wanted to talk to you about a little bit was the lyrics in your music, because from my perspective, I find them really refreshing. How do you approach like writing lyrics and what you talk about, and especially when you're writing kind of like what I perceive as like personal thoughts that you're sharing? Like, there's, if one is true to themselves, I think sometimes people are you're going to say things or think you think things, and that you that could lead someone to have a
negative opinion
of someone. How do you think about like putting those things out there and how others would receive them?
To be honest, I'm quite reluctant to put a lot of the stuff out there. I think with my style of writing, I kind of write whatever comes into my head. So religious people would say like, it's just, you know, God's words, or people who train and practice would say that it's like the flow state or getting closer to nirvana or things like that. Or the kind of like, I like to think of it as like reaching onto the platonic plane, which is apparently, according to my friend, a theoretical place where every idea already exists and always will exist, and these kind of things. So I feel like to create, I interact with that space and bring something down, but it's through creation. So it makes it sound a little bit less, it's not fishing, but it's,
I get it, it's kind of connecting with something that already exists that you're kind of conduit for. Like Rick Rubin, I've been reading a little bit of his book, but it speaks about this, so there's these kind of like ideas are there and like waiting for kind of the right vessel to express it. But I think what we do is we like have that feeling, that thing we want to express, but don't have the belief or trust or the bravery, like maybe to express like really what we're really channeling, right? Like from my perspective, you speak in your music about like your challenges with food, what I perceive to be challenges with one's like own mind sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
And then also like finding someone attractive on the street and commenting on that. And I think at times like we delineate in society between like, here's this really conscious piece of art and this artist that works in this way, and then here's this crude person that has these like illicit thoughts that really should be kept in their head. Or we kind of like presume that, oh well, if they're conscious in these certain ways, then they mustn't even have these thoughts and they certainly wouldn't dare to express them. What I really like is that you marry these things, from my perspective, without filtering it. I wonder what you think.
There is a filter. There is a filter. But I agree that you don't normally find those two examples or different kind of like faces of society in the same book, I guess. This only really applies to politics, I think. But they said, someone once said, two types of people, flags and the flagpole. Or like a compass. Basically, one of them always points in the same direction and one of them follows the flow of the wind or something like that. Mm. I think with being like righteous and reliable and like these kind of things, there's certain things that are attempting to be perfection or like, and so because we have that, if you diverge from that path for even a moment, it's for some reason like a stain on your
I think interesting in the past as well, I think there's people that have diverged, or groups, subcultures that diverge, and they do it in a very loud way. So I think about like a punk movement, right? It's all about like, we've diverged, and it's very, very clear, like from our the fashion, that the style of music, like the way we're going to treat you. It's trickier in a way to do it, because one, it's innate to you that like naturally like you think potentially differently, or you act differently, or like you have a genuinely diverse like musical or cultural interests. Mm-hmm. because we do kind of cluster into groups, and those things are not as easy to marry or
unify.
Yeah, not for the individual, only for the individual in the sense that the different audiences or different groups that they exist in perceive that person or their art or whatever in this one way.
That makes sense, but I'm seeing it from a weird perspective of, like, if I had a gig, I don't know who would turn up. Do you know what I mean?
Well,
not that.
Hopefully, what would turn up for you would be people that definitely would appreciate that, like, nuanced, honest, like, that this is a rounded person, that as opposed to someone that necessarily, like, fits into, I don't know, some is kind of like box or something like that.
A box or a stereotype.
Yeah.
I guess I was just trying to be genuine the whole time, kind of. And I get dirty thoughts. Sometimes those are just wordplay. Like, you know? Because for some reason, if you want to rhyme rich with a lot of things, like glitch, you're going to end up using certain words. But I do try to swear less, mainly because I was trying to submit some stuff to certain portals and they were like, no swearing. I just ended up never submitting anything.
Yeah, I might need to do some editing and reversing in some of these songs on certain bits. And what about, like, talking about
the song afterwards?
Rap songs in the 90s were, like, ridiculous, the radio edits, when it's just like you heard like three words in the whole song.
Did you ever listen to that track that I made that has hundreds of intentional bleeps in there?
No. Were those, like, is that you swearing and then you beeped it and for, like...
But then I swear in the gaps as well. So it's just...
Nice.
I think it's called expletive.
It would be cool to do the inverse of that, actually. Like, instead of, like, taking out all the swear words, like, taking out the words that, like, from Find a Song that's got tons of swear words from, like, the 90s or something.
No, and just
take out all the words that aren't swear words, and that would be interesting. Have to figure out what song we can do that with.
What I thought was quite interesting is I listened to a track, and then I realized that if I were listening to the censored version, like, just with the swear words taken out, I might get a completely different impression of the song.
Well, would the song make sense? Because
I think it would.
Yeah.
Because you'd hear the gap. You'd insert your own swear word. So I think it made the censored version more ambiguous. Basically, you could swap out those words and it still have a meaning.
I think one thing I remember from that time or listening to radio edits was they weren't that precise. So what I'm saying is that they take out the swear word, but then take out words on either side, and then you're left with very little. But maybe, you know, we're talking about iteration and the value in that. Maybe there's an aesthetic beauty to kind of radio edits of popular rap songs that I need to can embrace in the future.
I think considering the type of people that make rap songs and how good they are with words, I think there might be a couple out there that are like, they've done it like in a smart, clever way.
Let's play another song, and then when we come back, we'll talk about projects you want to do, what you look to do with your music, and going forward, and sign off.
Pill popping, hurt stalking down these streets, man. I be walking parakeets, I think I hear them squawking. Pop a pill while I'm ghetto stalking through these paths, through these pavements. I be walking in my mind, I be chilling in the bayou, listening to Badu. I'm a player, you're a player, man. Don't want you. Ha ha ha, don't answer. Me and my come from a place where silence is the mantra. Addicted to the beat like a dancer. I'll make a bet right now, but you know that it's gonna be
gets dark in the evening time. Wonder if my mates come round, but it's too late plus the travel time. So I'm walking these streets, nighttime, twisting torsion, Mary wrapped in sheets, immaculate conception, messy abortion. Come get your portion, your pound of meat, wolves baying at my feet, can spraying nothing neat. I would make a bet right now, but you know that it's gonna be peak sometimes. I should get to bed right now. It gets dark in the evening time. Nighttime drops a veil on my eyelids. Funeral procession. I still got a couple hours booked in on my session. No second guessing. Take a minute. To expand your mind, then you might see why I'm stressing. Lick the glue, but don't let the rest of wet.
Okay, so that one was not even that stoned. New mix, so presumably there was a mix before, and this is the newer one. But like we said before, these are Resonance exclusives, so won't have been heard anywhere before. And actually, that brings me to what I wanted to talk to Hani about next, was visibility and what one's intentions are with the music. Because in preparation for this program, I was asking Hani for links online for the music, and there aren't any. Hani, why do you think, in this age where there's so many platforms to put one's art and music and shout about what you're doing, do you not do that?
Well, mainly most of this music is, or these sound pieces, I should say, because there's a larger collection of things, but most of them have been an exercise in creation and kind of a learning exercise at the same time. So some of these songs and tracks were made so that I could like get to know how to use Ableton or Fruity Loops or Logic or da-da-da-da. So yeah, they were kind of like essentially something to clear the pipes of the system that is me creating songs.
So do you feel there's like that then, everything you've made to this point is not kind of valid because you had an ulterior motive, which is learning? I would argue that like every musician, including people, whoever's number one at the moment, unless I can't imagine they'll never progress. So in effect, everything that they make is learning their craft, right? I understand you're talking technically about how to use a bit of software, but I mean, there's an analogy that they're using, learning to use their voice, right? Or learning to play the guitar better, or learning to write a song better, but they still kind of affirm the work that they make and see it as valid and present it. I don't think when people are going to listen to your music, they're thinking this person's like, clearly I can hear in it, they're learning to use this bit of software that majority of people don't even know exist.
I guess maybe I've got imposter syndrome, as well as it being a kind of Pandora's box of sorts. Not that anything negative comes out of it, but that once it's opened, it can't be closed as such.
If I were to say to you, would you like to do music and this be your life and you'll make money from making music and you'll have the respect of those that appreciate the music, would that be kind of a attractive prospect for you in terms of...
Oh yeah, that would definitely be like my main goal probably.
What's stopping you?
That, literally nothing.
Nice. So everyone, look forward to Hani having a bigger presence online, on every medium, and being very much visible. And please support the journey to becoming musical. I don't know, I'm not big into reverence. I was about
virtuoso.
To say, I was about to say like deity or something, but I don't want to advocate for I don't know, kind of a hierarchy of
what's
humanity.
That word? I'll just be the king forever.
Okay.
What did Caesar say? trying to quote Caesar.
So yeah, let's just go circling back to the beginning. You've got this new record, as they said, you know, hip and cool, but they're definitely not like records now. They not even CDs. Although, as Dan and William know, I was putting out cassettes. Is there any kind of physical release for this new collection?
I mean, it would be nice. currently, there isn't.
Make some limited edition ones, and they become huge. Maybe.
All right. Cool. Yeah. Cool.
All right.
So I think it should fit on one tape. 45 minutes aside is the tape.
Yeah, and these songs are quite short as well.
Yeah, I put it together, and then I looked back at it, and I was like, "Yeah, that's not an album. It's an EP. It's definitely like quite brief." But
I think one thing you're not going to be able to hear in just in the song we play to lead us out, but the songs all interweave very nicely together, and yeah, you've done a really nice job there. Okay, and if anyone wants to hear more of your music, and we know there's not like a big online presence, but it is available on streaming sites, so how can they find out? How did you spell Anacusis?
Anacusis.
Cool.
Might work.
Anacusis, Hani, thank you. Thank you for the music. For giving it to... No, thank you for being a guest on Resonance. We hope to have you back. What's this song we're going to hear called?
Kinda.
Okay, here's Kinda. Thanks for listening.
Slipping like I usually do. Forehead bruised from fours into thoughts. What's a dome compute? When in Rome, don't shoot. Private feet, devil's greed. I was lost up on the route. Throat gone dry from the cookie zoo. Thinking what she got to boot. Mind on fruit shoot, lip balm. Little childish, okay, but the drink's calm, sink into arms, blinking from the stars that are from express, summer warm, floral dress, trying not to think about her undress. That's just one test, built for one track mind, that's undress, hold your curves, like a winding creeping herb, I heard what you preferred on the grapevine, I hope you don't mind, I'm a little late, I'm just getting started. Is tactics, puffing back and thinking on the drill, on the mattress, stub it out and I stub my toe, she got a thick butt and a flat chest, stumble out, humble pout, stomach rumbles, yeah, let the hunger out, I need to quench my mouth, get some food in my belly while I'm living in the south, and that's the embers out, I don't remember doubt, I just kinda went with it, bent words, bent physics.
This program has been brought to you by Resonance FM. If you like what you heard, please support our work by making a donation at resonancefm.com/donate.